Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, AM 1320 WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine, brought to you by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. Now, with the Morning Magazine, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's show on AM 1320 and streaming live at WFHR.com. As we told you last week, we're getting together with the Family Center to do a series of special programs in observance of Sexual Assault Victim Awareness Month. And Deb Kluwerth is here, and if you want to know where the Family Center is located, it's 525th Street North here in Wisconsin Rapids. Their 24/7 crisis line is 715-421-1511. FamilyCTR.org is the website. You can find them on Facebook as well as on Twitter. And I'm going to let Deb, introduce our first program. This is going to be a series of programs as we're hopefully going to educate you and the public about a very important issue. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having us. We're kind of outside of our normal realm here. We're usually here on the last Tuesday of the month, but today marks the beginning of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And so we are going to be here for the next three Mondays with some special guests and just to talk about services that we offer for victims of sexual assault and just bring more awareness to the topic itself. So I am here with Jess and Katie, and Jess is our Sexual Assault Victim Services Coordinator. And a little later in the program, I think she's going to share some of the services and what her position is and, you know, what she can do to help victims. And then we also have Katie here, who we've talked to before, and Katie is awesome and coming forward to share parts of her story in an effort, I think, to bring more awareness to the topic and to just let people know that there are people out there like the Family Center and agencies that can help victims. So just want to turn that over to Jess and Katie to talk a little bit about this month, and then at the end we'll also share some other things that we're doing as well.
Okay, how did we want to begin this?
Sure. So I can introduce Katie here, and she is going to talk a little bit about the process of filing a police report after a sexual assault.
Okay. Well, okay, first off, welcome, and thank you for having the courage to come here.
Thank you for having me.
Because what you're doing, I know, is not easy, and I appreciate you, and our listeners appreciate this as well. But tell me about your situation, and I guess why you waited to report, or just give us what you did when you reported.
Well, I was actually sexually assaulted 10 years ago. I didn't remember it until much after the fact. And so I didn't report right away because I didn't remember a lot of stuff. It was just too painful, everything coming back. And I was terrified of facing him in court and having my past thrown in my face.
Okay. Very human emotions. I would say that's a very normal.
Yes. That's something that almost everybody experiences. Very normal.
So what prompted you to finally say enough's enough?
So I was in a very angry place in my recovery. I wanted some kind of justice, to tell my story, and to be heard. I wanted to know that I had done everything I could to hold him accountable for what he had done to me.
Okay. So that led you to finally to go through the process of filing a report. Tell me about that process. This is where I'm sure other women would like to know what was that process like to you, and what feelings did you have, and positive and or negative experiences going through that?
So I had talked to an advocate at the Family Center, and she arranged for me to meet with a detective who was trained to deal with sexual assaults and sensitive issues.
Can I ask just one real question there? Was this detective a male or a female?
It was a female.
Okay.
So with the advocate by my side, I was able to go and talk to the detective and tell her what happened. I was actually really scared, but I knew it was something I needed to do to find some kind of closure, just something I needed to do for myself.
Okay.
And I think Katie brings up, you know, a good point that even though the assault happened 10 years ago before she reported it, and as Jess can probably attest to as well, at the Family Center, and I'm sure many agencies, that does not matter. The time does not matter. It can have happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, yesterday. If that person needs to talk and needs, you know, some advocacy, the Family Center's there. Doesn't matter when it happened.
Okay. Well, from a legal standpoint, is there a statute of limitations on this stuff?
That is something that comes into play as far as reporting goes. And Katie will talk about that also. But as far as our services go, you can come in, like Debbie said, even if it happened 20 years ago, because sure. Even if the statute of limitations has passed, the healing might not have started yet, and that's what's really important.
Yeah, getting the emotional
yes.
help
mm-hmm.
for
yes.
the person. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just, okay, so you went through the process, you went, so what would you say to other survivors or someone listening to us who might be in a similar situation?
Reporting is very complicated, and it's definitely not right for everyone. I recommend talking to a sexual assault advocate. They can tell you what you can most likely expect and help you weigh the pros and cons. Reporting is not right for everyone, and you are allowed to change your mind about reporting or not reporting.
Okay. Your thoughts about that? It's not right for everyone.
That's very true. The process of filing a report and possibly going through court can be very, very difficult for survivors. It's, you know, you're reliving it and
sure.
you're having to tell your story over and over again. For some, it can be empowering going through the court and getting that sort of justice. But if you choose not to report, there's still supports and services out there for you to deal with the emotional aspect. But it's not right for everyone. Everyone has a different form of justice and a different form of healing.
Okay.
And probably one of the aspects, too, is maybe victims think they've gotten over it, and then there may be some trigger that brings all these feelings
sure.
and memories back. And then, again, they can reach out. You know, it may come out of the blue, and all of a sudden they're reliving all this or remembering all this, and that's when they, you know, we're here for them.
I guess
call.
And when you say it's not, reporting isn't for everyone, there's the people out there who want justice who are going, well, then that means a bad person got away with something. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yes.
And they get frustrated with that.
Yes, and that is a big part of it also. You know, but putting somebody in jail isn't everybody's form of justice, and there's certain aspects of the justice system that are not as progressive as they should be, and I guess that's our role at the Family Center, is to be there with the survivors throughout that process if they choose to report, to make sure that they are getting the support and that people are treating them with respect and dignity throughout that.
Okay, so Katie, as a survivor of something that happened to you that's quite honestly despicable, what messages would you like to say to other survivors who are struggling? There might be someone listening to us this morning who's going through this, what you've been going through right now. What would you say to them?
I would say that you aren't alone. I see you. I believe you. The darkness doesn't last forever. I think a part of it will always be with us, but it doesn't have to define our lives.
Okay.
And you had mentioned, Carl, too, about the statute of limitations, and I think mm-hmm. Katie was going to address that as well.
Could you address that, Katie?
Sure. So I left the interview feeling a mixture of relief and exhaustion. It had taken a lot out of me to name my rapist for what he was. But the hardest part about it was getting the call that the statutes had passed a long time ago. I was expecting it. But I guess you can never really prepare yourself fully, because I still lost it.
Okay.
I was on out in public on the street when I got the call, and I cried like in the middle of Main Street. It was no good, very bad day. I was very angry. But I realized that the best thing that came out of it was that I was able to, you know, tell my story. And if anyone else ever comes forward about this person, it's on file and it could be used.
And that's a good point there, because if nothing else, police know about this jerk.
Yes.
They know, okay, we got, and they can keep an eye on, and if they see him or doing something, they can bust him then. I mean, it didn't go for nothing, because they got a file now on this guy. They
yes.
know, hey, we're going to keep an eye. And so there's value in that.
Correct. And Katie has really become an advocate, I think, not only for herself, but for others who have been in the same situation, which, you know, not everybody can do, either because you haven't been in that situation or it's just too difficult to come forward and talk about it. And she's really become an advocate, you know, for herself and for others. So that's pretty awesome.
I'm going to ask you a question. That for someone that maybe who knows someone who maybe has gone through this, and they've been trying to, you know, they've been thinking about, I want to help, but I don't know what to do. What would you tell that person?
Sometimes just being there, letting your loved one, your friend, know that you believe them and that you're there to support them, just letting them know that they're not alone in it can make all the difference in the world.
So opening up and saying, listen, I know your story, I believe you, and I'm here for you.
Yes.
That would mean a lot.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's talk about the services the Family Center provides. You mentioned that advocates are there to help when a victim is going through this. So talk about from the beginning. An advocate comes to you. Listen, I've been dealing, like, it could be from the night before. It could be 10, 20 years ago. Talk about that.
Sure. So when a survivor comes to the Family Center, the most basic thing is we ask them, what do you want? A lot of people come wanting advice and wanting to hear what they should do, but we would always ask what the survivor wants to do. Now, if that's filing a report, we can literally go down there with the person to the police station and sit there while they file a report, and provide them with information of how the process will go and just emotional support during that. We can be with them throughout the court proceedings, you know, sitting in the courtroom, and talking with them before and after and just being supportive for them. We can also accompany survivors to sexual assault forensic exams. So after somebody is sexually assaulted, they can do a medical exam to collect evidence, and we can be with them throughout that entire process. And just the emotional support and the support groups and counseling after that also.
Okay.
And I think what is important about, everything's important, obviously, but one of the points that Jess brings up is that power is with the victim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that has been taken away from them, whether it's in the case of domestic and sexual violence, but by giving them that power to make those decisions, and that's their choice. You know, do you want the advocate to go with you for the court, the exam, whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, I think, is empowering and gives them back some of that
control.
Yeah.
In order to make decisions, though, you also need as much information as possible to make
yes.
a good, and so then you help provide them, I would take it, before they make that decision, here are all your options.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's a big part of talking about how reporting is not right for everybody. We would provide them with all the information to make a choice that's right for them and give them the pros and cons for all of those things.
Katie, did that help you a lot when you were going through this?
Yes, it definitely helped to know what I might be able to expect, what may or may not come out of it, just all that. It helped me make a better informed decision.
Okay. So having the info, here's what's you are, if you file a report, this is what's likely to happen, or these are the other options, and then letting you decide.
Yes.
Did it empower you? Did it make you feel better somewhat, that you got back some control of your life?
It definitely did, especially since a few years back I had decided I wasn't going to report for this and that reason, and it felt good to me to be able to change my mind.
If you're just joining us on the Morning Magazine, welcome. Today we're starting a series of programs on Monday with the Family Center. It's Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and Deb is here. And also, their Sexual Assault Victim Services Coordinator, Jess, is here, and Katie, who's a victim. And
actually, she's a survivor.
Survivor.
We like to refer to her as a survivor.
Okay, I'm sorry. I am sorry.
Right?
Survivor.
Yeah.
A survivor.
Yep.
She's a survivor.
She's the victim.
Okay.
She is not
a survivor. She's a survivor. Thank you for pointing that out.
That's okay.
What are your plans going forward? I mean, you've gone through hell, but you've had a lot of support. How are on the road to healing? Is it every day? Is it a step by step, day by day type of a healing process for you?
You just never know what to expect day to day. You just do the best you can. It's a never-ending process, but I get stronger and better every day, and it's been really helpful to know that I can use my experience to help and empower others. That kind of keeps me going, too.
So you work at the Family Center, or you help out at the Family Center?
I do some volunteering there, and then I run a blog that I tell my story about my life, and it's also a place for others to share their stories, too, if they so wish.
How's that blog going for you?
It's been going for quite a few years, and it's...
You have quite a few contributors on there, don't you?
Yes.
That's pretty awesome.
And
so.
That is.
Mm-hmm. It's been really helpful in my recovery.
Yeah, and then you've had other people who've reached out probably and told a similar.
Yes.
Okay. So.
The blog is called Becoming Katie Butterfly.
I noticed the T-shirt that she's wearing.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's just a really awesome website with stories and inspirational things, and it's just a very empowering place to go if anyone's feeling down or anything like that.
Okay. Becoming Katie Butterfly.
And I think part of it is because Katie has been there, people feel safe that they can share their stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know someone, you know, she can relate and she understands from that aspect of that part of that person's life.
And where do people that respond to your blog, are they from all around the nation? Or
It could be from anywhere. It could be from anywhere.
Did you think it would become as big as it has?
No, not really. But I've reached out to other people in different online support groups and stuff, and they wanted to share.
That's
pretty cool.
And who did you get some help from anybody, or did the Family Center? I mean, starting a blog—that's a serious thing.
You kind of did it all.
Yeah, it was all me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you're becoming Katie Butterfly is helping other folks.
Yes.
And you're sharing your story and they're sharing theirs. And what would you hope happens as a result of becoming Katie Butterfly?
I just hope that people know that they're not alone, that there's always someone that cares. They're not alone.
Okay. I guess that's the big thing that the Family Center is trying to say here, too, during Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Right.
Is that you are not alone.
Right.
That
yes.
There are resources here, and you will make the... And you're in charge. For what I'm hearing, you're in charge. We want to empower you to... Mm-hmm. But we're going to give you all the tools, and we're going to give you all the straight information.
Yes, exactly.
So that you can make your own informed decision.
That's exactly right. Yep. We just want to give them the information so that they can take that control back and make their own decisions again.
And I think, too, you know, it's the door's open to come forward. Probably sexual assault, domestic violence, these are things that have been covered up for years. Nobody talked about them. Nobody, you know, you didn't talk about a sexual assault. You were made to, in a lot of cases, it was your fault.
But before,
what were you wearing? What was this? What was that? And no, that should not be. You It's not your fault.
I remember as a young buck reporter, it used to be the victim was as much on trial, and until the state legislature changed the laws to say you can't do that anymore.
Correct.
That was a defense strategy.
Yes.
And to put the victim on trial.
Right.
And then the state legislature passed the change in the law that said, no, you can't do that anymore.
So you can imagine how hard it has been for victims to come forward, you know, to take that step to becoming a survivor because of all the negative connotations that were put on them as you know, part of that coming forward. So, yeah.
Right. Well, Katie, I want to thank you so much for telling your story. And I guess if there was one thing this morning that you wanted to get out to our listeners, and especially to people out there who might be in the same place that you were in, what would it be?
Definitely that you're not alone. There's always someone that cares. I care. You can definitely check me out on my blog, becomingkatiebutterfly.com. There's a place to message me. So if you need someone to care, I care.
I like that. If you need someone to care, I care. I like that. That's good. And if the family center is always there, we always talk about the 24/7 crisis line.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to repeat it again. That line is 715-421-1511. 715-421-1511.
Did you have anything you wanted to add?
As far as the crisis line goes, it's staffed 24 hours a day. So if you're listening to this and you feel like you need help or someone to talk to, you can always call, and we're there for you.
Yeah, and there's lots of resources and support systems available to help you get through this.
Yes.
You don't have to feel that you're alone. Through that. I guess that's the big thing that I'm hearing right now with our first program is don't suffer alone.
Exactly.
Don't do that to yourself.
And before we wrap up, I just want to mention a few things we are doing this month.
Sure.
So during the month of April, Taco John's is actually doing kind of a fundraiser. When people go in, they'll be asked if they want to donate to the Family Center, and they have some spring-themed icons that people can make a donation and then put the icon up on the wall with, you know, their name. We will have a information table at the library with different information about sexual assault awareness, some coloring pages just to bring more awareness. And also, if people go to our website and go under the events link, we have some information about Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And the theme this year is I Ask, and it's all based around consent. So there's different things. I ask consent for this. I ask